Insight by Spratt, read by The Patty, an American Idol RPF fic. Pairing, Chris Allen, Adam Lambert. Summary. When he woke up again, he could hear people's thoughts. Just like that. Boom! Telepathic. The clinic won't let me drive home, Adam said. Because of the... things. Drugs. You know. He waved a hand in the air next to his head, which was dumb because Chris wasn't actually looking at him through the phone, because that was not how phones worked. Unless you're in the Jetsons, which they were not. What? Chris said. That's crazy. You're obviously completely fit to drive. And Adam might have felt totally vindicated, except it turned out that Chris was laughing at him. I am, though, he said sadly. Uh-huh. There was some rustling on the other end of the line, and then Chris was back. We're on the way. Cal's gonna drop me off so I can drive your car, okay? Okay, Adam said. He closed his eyes and thought up an awesome plot for a movie in which there would be a guy who was sad and a girl with purple hair that stood up from her head in a heart-shaped shape, and the hair would represent happiness, like a metaphor. Hey, I think I'm going to write an awesome movie. Maybe, he told Chris. But Chris wasn't in the phone anymore for some reason, so Adam sighed and hung it up. The nurse was nice. He gave Adam a paper cup with ice chips. Adam ate one of them and closed his eyes again, and then when he opened his eyes, there was Chris. He was peering right into Adam's face. Adam could smell the gum he was chewing, could see the web of tiny wrinkles appearing at the corners of his eyes when he smiled. Hey, Chris said. Adam closed one of his eyes so that Chris's face would be simpler. You know what? I was just gonna call you. Weird, right? Chris ducked his head, laughing, and patted Adam's knee. You did call me, man, he said. You are so stoned right now. It's hilarious. Adam scowled. Your mom is hilarious, he said. It worked less well than he'd hoped it would, though. He scowled again and rubbed at the corner of his eye with the heel of his hand. I had shoes before. He frowned down at the floor beside the wheelchair they'd made him sit in, but he couldn't see his shoes anywhere. And that was sad, until Chris showed him that they were back on his feet again already. Then it was just embarrassing. Chris drove like Adam's dad, giving him a driving lesson, but he got them to Adam's house not too long after the embarrassing shoe incident, parking in the garage and letting them in the back door with Adam's keys. He held Adam's sleeve in his fist while he punched in the security code for the alarm, kept a hand in the small of Adam's back all the way up the stairs and into Adam's bedroom, like Adam was a little kid who stayed up past his bedtime or something. I'm really fine, Adam said, blinking. Somehow Chris had gotten him sitting on the edge of the bed without Adam actually noticing and was kneeling at Adam's feet so he could pry off Adam's shoes. I don't need to go to bed. Chris set the second shoe on the floor and stood up, looking amused. Okay, he said. Why are you lying down, then? He bent to tug the comforter out from under Adam, because, Adam was indeed lying on it, and lifted Adam's feet up onto the mattress so he could tug the blankets over them. Because, Adam said, but he forgot what he was going to say next. Maybe he'd never had anything. He frowned up at Chris, confused. Chris shook his head, laughing. You're really freaking cute, he said. He reached out a hand awkwardly, patted the top of Adam's head. Adam smiled. You're really freaking cute, he said sleepily, and he had just enough time to see Chris's eyes widen and his forehead crease before his own eyelids started falling closed again, heavy and warm and not at all reopenable. And then he was asleep. When he woke up again, he could hear people's thoughts. Just like that. Boom! Telepathic. It started with Chris, because Chris was in the kitchen when he woke up, sitting on one of the stools at the counter, watching cartoons and eating cereal. He was wearing a pair of Adam's sweatpants, and his hair was sticking up from his head at the back, and he was talking to himself. It was a steady stream of low-volume muttering. I have to get Adam to drive me home tonight. Wonder if he'll be feeling okay enough. Maybe I should just stay another day. Is this pomegranate? Who has cereal with dehydrated pomegranate in it? Such a hippie, Adam, seriously. And the thing that made Adam stop walking and put a hand over his mouth and just stare for a few seconds was that Chris's mouth was full of cereal while he was saying all of this, and his lips weren't moving at all. Dehydrated pomegranates or not, this isn't bad. Wonder where he got it. I think those are pecans. Pecans. Bet he never tasted any fresh ones from the roadside, though. Especially not after a whole night driving back from that concert in Jacksonville. The car full of friends and Katie all sleepy and cuddly and driving me crazy. That thing she used to do with her foot. Good morning, Adam said, stretching his hands above his head and faking a yawn. Chris turned and smiled at him, sleepy and sweet. Hey, he said. You slept for almost 14 hours, man. I was starting to think I should call the clinic. Adam laughed, shook his head, slid onto the stool next to Chris's. Sorry. Chris shrugged. Not like I had urgent places to be, he said, and he was thinking about his dusty apartment, the way it still felt too empty, even a whole year after Katie'd moved out of it. Adam blinked at him, opened his mouth to say something, say he was sorry again, maybe, and then he realized he totally couldn't. He frowned. You feel okay? Chris asked. Adam nodded, and then thought about it, and then nodded again. He really did feel fine, apart from the telepathy. Chris nodded, too. He ate another bite of cereal and thought that the lady on the commercial for bite-sized pizzas was pretty hot for a mom, and then thought that Adam smelled good, like sleep and fruit shampoo, and then Adam stood up quickly and covered his ears with both hands. Chris looked at him, alarmed. Adam lowered his hands. That's one of the things I'm supposed to do for aftercare. It said in the pamphlet. He lifted his hands to his ears again, lowered them. Chris blinked. Huh, he said, and then he thought something about the color of Adam's hair and Adam's armpits, too quickly for Adam to catch. I should, Adam said, hitching a thumb at the stairs, already drifting toward them backward. Have a shower. I should watch, Chris said, except he didn't say it. He just nodded and turned back to his cartoon like everything was completely normal. Adam took the stairs two at a time. In the bathroom, he turned on the shower, then got out his phone and called the clinic. Oh, yes, they told him. Telepathy is one of the potential side effects of Dr. Broder's treatment. Didn't you read the pamphlet? I skimmed it, Adam said defensively. He sunk down onto the floor of his bathroom, elbows on his knees, and shoved the fingers of his spare hand into his hair. Jesus! Don't worry, the clinic lady told him. It's only temporary. Most patients find it a minor inconvenience when compared with the new absence of migraines from their lives. Aha, Adam said and hung up on her. Then he called Chris. You're calling me from the shower, Chris said instead of saying hello. Yeah, Adam said. Well, no, I'm not actually in the shower. I'm on the floor next to the shower. But I can't come out until you leave because, here's the thing. I'm kind of suddenly telepathic. There was a pause. Adam closed his eyes. Huh, Chris said. Right, Adam said. So you should just go. And then when the telepathy wears off, I'll come over and make you play Karaoke Superstar with me and everything will be totally normal again. Adam, I can't go. The clinic. They said you needed supervision for 24 hours in case you started fainting or acting strangely. And I guess this probably counts as acting strangely. No, Adam said. Chris, I called the clinic. They're the ones who told me this was a side effect. I guess apparently it was in the pamphlet? Weird, Chris said. I know, right? What kind of laser treatment makes you telepathic? You'd think they'd have to at least make it in bold in there or something. At least, Chris agreed. Adam huffed a relieved laugh, let his head fall back against the wall. Okay, so you should really just go. Now. No way, Chris said, and oh, huh. Adam was kind of hearing him in stereo now, through the phone and through the non-phone ear, too, because apparently he was right outside the door. I'm just gonna... You're not naked, right? The door came open. Chris blinked down at Adam, still looking sleepy and adorable in the two big sweatpants. He took the phone away from his ear, hung it up, stuck it in his pocket. So, you can hear me do this? He said without moving his lips. Adam closed his eyes. Yes, he said. I can. It's not a joke, Chris. I can hear stuff. I know you wouldn't want me to hear. Chris blinked and thought a whole bunch of things in quick succession, and then thought, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Ow, Adam said. But see, you so can't be here right now. Hang on, Chris said. He pushed two hands through his hair and thought about the time when he was a freshman in high school and this girl asked him out at a party and she was really not attractive and his friends were watching and he kind of laughed at her and said no like a jerk. You still can't be alone, so I think maybe I should call your mom. Yes, Adam said. My mom. That's perfect. Chris nodded and sunk to his knees next to Adam on the fuzzy blue mat on the floor, looking a little haunted. And Adam told him the number and he dialed it. And then while it was ringing, he thought about how he and his cousin used to play the naughty kind of doctor when they were small. And so it wasn't so surprising how he got off so hard to medical porn now. And sometimes thought about what it would be like to be kidnapped by aliens and tied to a cold metal table while they did things to him. And holy shit, stop thinking, Chris, la la la. Hello? Adam's mom said, tinny and small through the phone. Hello, Chris said, and thank God stopped thinking about his deepest, darkest secrets for a while so he could explain the situation to Adam's mom instead. But after he was finished speaking, he listened for a while and his mouth tightened, his eyes lifting to Adam's face. She's in Ohio, he said without actually saying anything. And Adam grimaced because, shit, yeah, he'd known that and forgotten. Now what? Chris said after they hung up. Adam thought about it. His brother was in New York and his dad was in San Diego and Danielle was in France and there was really no other friend whose thoughts he'd be better off reading than Chris's. He shrugged. I really don't feel like I'm going to faint, he said hopefully. Chris pressed his lips together. If you got hurt and I could have prevented it, I would never forgive myself, he thought. That's really sweet, Adam said, and gave Chris a tentative smile. Shit, Chris said out loud. They looked at each other. I once got off while thinking about a fucking jellyfish, Chris thought helplessly, and then widened his eyes and covered his mouth with both hands. Adam pressed his lips together hard, but it was no use. He had to laugh out loud. I'm sorry, he said, and put a hand over his mouth, tucking the smile from the corners of it. This is turning out to be really, illuminating. Yeah, or humiliating, Chris said. Adam bit his lip. Ah, no, your deepest, darkest secrets are no weirder than anybody else's. Chris shook his head, looking miserable, and thought a series of images in helpless quick succession, sucking cock, being fucked, sinking his teeth into the smooth, freckled skin of someone's muscled upper arm, shoving his fingers into thick, dark hair, kissing Adam. Chris's face was deeply flushed, his eyes on his own hand where it was plucking at the fuzz of the blue bathroom mat. He looked like he might never look Adam in the eyes again. Hey, Adam said softly. Now, hey, it's okay, Chris. People think about stuff. It doesn't have to mean anything. I bet you, think the same stuff about Kale or Andrew sometimes. Chris's mouth twitched. Not so much, he said out loud, rough-voiced. Oh, Adam said. He took a breath, shook his head, licked his bottom lip. So you... seriously? Chris nodded, still looking miserable and ashamed, which was dumb. God, so dumb. So Adam lifted a hand and touched Chris's cheek. Fuck, Chris. Why didn't you ever say anything? Chris opened his eyes, blinked up at Adam. Adam touched the corner of Chris's mouth with his thumb, and Chris sucked in a breath and thought about Adam's lips. Adam took Chris's wrist, lifted his hand, brought it to his mouth, and kissed Chris's fingers, the pads of them soft and warm, calloused at the tips. Chris breathed out and opened his eyes. They stared at each other for a long moment, and then Chris slid his fingertips across Adam's cheek, into the hair at the back of Adam's head. He was thinking about kissing, so Adam kissed him, shallow and careful and brief, then deeper when Chris's mind demanded it, pressed inside Chris's mouth with his tongue, cradling Chris's head with both hands so he could tilt him, get closer, suck at that full bottom lip. More, Chris thought, and he wanted to sit in Adam's lap while he got it, which was not a scenario Adam could ever imagine objecting to, so he slid a hand down Chris's side, nudged him closer. Chris breathed out and crawled up and over, straddling Adam's thighs, shifting hesitantly until Adam moaned and grabbed his hips, slid him as close as they both wanted him to be. Chris rocked into him, helplessly, kissed Adam again, and thought that this was a bad idea and that they should stop. Confusingly, he also wrapped his arms around Adam's neck and kissed him even deeper. Adam tucked his head away gently. Why should we stop? He said, lips pressed against Chris's temple. Chris made a low noise like a denial and pressed kiss after kiss to Adam's mouth and jaw and neck, but his mind was still insisting that this was a bad plan, stupid plan, that Chris wanted way more than he was letting on, that it wasn't fair to get into this without telling Adam about that, and he was way too much of a chicken shit to tell Adam about that, and so, but then, shit, maybe he just told Adam about that? Adam laughed breathlessly, closed his eyes, wrapped both arms all the way around Chris, and pulled him close. Kind of, yeah, he said, and pressed a kiss into Chris's hot cheek. But it's okay, Chris. It's okay. I'm right there with you. Chris breathed out and lifted his head so he could look Adam in the face, his fingers resting on Adam's cheek. Adam met his eyes. Really? He said, sliding his hands down Chris's back and over his thighs, kneading the muscle over Chris's knees with both thumbs. Baby, really? For years already. It's sick. Chris flattened his hand against Adam's cheek, stroked the ridge of Adam's cheekbone with his thumb. Totally sick, he said out loud, and bent his head so he could press a kiss to Adam's mouth, slow and sweet, lips clinging when he pulled away. Codependent, not realistic. He kissed Adam again. Adam agreed, pressing his lips to Chris's jaw, tasting sweat and sleep and stubble, both hands sliding over the rucked-up sweats to Chris's hips again, tagging him close. Too late, though. I'm already completely fucked up over you. Chris smiled against Adam's cheek, bright and sweet and real, pushed his hands up against Adam's arms, under his t-shirt sleeves. There should be less clothes, his mind said. Adam slid his hands under Chris's shirt, pushed it up his sides and off him, reached up so he could help Chris do the same with his own, and then they were pressed against each other, skin on skin, kissing desperately, and then Adam was cradling Chris's back with both arms, rolling them over so Chris was pressed into the floor. And it was weird because he could feel the way Chris was half on cool tile and half on the blue fuzzy mat, the contrast in textures, the way his own hands felt so large and warm as they slid down Chris's stomach and tugged at the loose sweatpants. Chris canted his lips so Adam could pull the sweatpants off him, hissed and tugged at Adam's hair when Adam's mouth moved lower, too, sucking kisses into Chris's chest, and then his belly, chin nudging at the head of Chris's cock. And Chris's cock was velvety and wet, leaking against Adam's skin, and Adam could also feel the ghost of his own mouth low on Chris's belly, his own fingers pressing bruises into Chris's hips, the way his own hot breath felt puffing out over the sensitive skin of Chris's cock. He squeezed his eyes closed, kissed the head of Chris's cock, and ran his tongue around the salty ridge, then breathed out, swallowed him down. It turned out that cock-sucking while telepathic was actually kind of hazardous to one's health. Luckily, they were already on the floor, so the part where he lost consciousness was more embarrassing than anything. "You fainted," Chris said later, grinning down at Adam. Propped up on an elbow, he dragged a fingertip across Adam's chest and over a nipple. "You fainted from my love." They cleaned up some and moved to Adam's bed, so Adam was comfortable and blissed out enough he didn't really care. He smiled and let his eyes close lazily. "Wonder what would happen if I fucked you," he said. Chris leaned in close and kissed him, slow and thorough. "I think it's probably our duty to science to find out." And so they did. The end.